Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, The Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Text Number 2. Jnanam Nishaya Sataya. Purushasyatmadhashanam yadhu vanaye tatte riddaya granti bhedanam jnanam nishaya sataya purushasyatmadhashanam Yadho vannaye tatte Riddaya granti bhedanam. Jnanam, knowledge. Vishesha ataya, for the ultimate perfection. Purushasya, of a man. Atmadarshanam, self-realization. Yat, which, ahu, they said, vanaye, I shall explain. Tat, that, te, to you. Ridaya, in the heart. Granti, the knots. Bedanam, cuts. Translation. Knowledge is the ultimate perfection of self-realization. I shall explain that knowledge unto you by which the knots of attachment to the material world are cut. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said that by proper understanding of the pure self, or by self-realization, one can be freed from material attachments. Knowledge leads one to attain the ultimate perfection of life and to see oneself as he is. The Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam Upanishad also confirms this. Tam eva viditvati vrichum iti. Simply by understanding one's spiritual position or by seeing oneself as he is, one can be freed from material entanglement. In various ways, the seeing of oneself is described in the Vedic literatures as it is confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Purushaya atmadarshanam. Quoting from this verse, that one has to see oneself and know what he is. As Kapila Dev explains to his mother, this seeing can be done by hearing from the proper authoritative source. Kapila Dev is the greatest authority because he is the personality of Godhead. And if someone accepts whatever is explained as it is, without interpretation, then he can see himself. Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatan Goswami the real constitutional position of the individual. He said directly that each and every individual soul is eternally a servitor of Krishna. Jivelasvarupaya hoya Krishnera nichadas. Every individual soul is eternally a servitor. When one is fixed in the understanding that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul and that his eternal position is to serve in association with the Supreme Lord, he becomes self-realized. This position of rightly understanding oneself cuts the knot of material attraction. Tridaya granti bedanam. Again, quoted from this verse. Due to false ego or false identification of oneself with the body and the material world, one is entrapped by Maya, but as soon as one understands that he is qualitatively the same substance as the Supreme Lord, because he belongs to the same category of spirit soul, and that his perpetual position is to serve, one attains Atmadarshanam and Hridaya Granti Bedanam, self-realization. When one can cut the knot of attachment to the material world, his understanding is called knowledge. Atmadarshana means to see oneself by knowledge. Therefore, when one is freed from the false ego by the cultivation of real knowledge, he sees himself, and that is the ultimate necessity of human life. The soul is thus isolated from the entanglement of the 24 categories of material nature. Pursuit of the systematic philosophical process is called Sankhya. Pursuit of the systematic philosophical process called Sankhya is called knowledge and self-revelation. So, these first two verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 26 of the third canto, are describing the benefits of hearing the Sankhya philosophy. So, we know that in the previous chapter, Lord Kapila Dev has spoken to Devahuti about the way that the ultimate supreme process for attaining liberation or going back to the spiritual world, and that is bhakti. So then one may question that if bhakti, rather than the pursuit of jnana or knowledge or karma yoga or astanga yoga, is the ultimate process, it would appear to be then a backward step to then describe the process of knowledge. So, similarly, in different parts of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna became a little perplexed that sometimes Krishna, in Arjuna's mind anyway, that Krishna seemed to be saying one thing and then seemed to be taking a back step on that and saying something else. So, therefore, Lord Kapila Dev is explaining that I'm going to explain the Sankhya philosophy, but the benefits are that one comes to proper knowledge, and by that proper knowledge, one can see oneself, the soul, as it is, as one is, that we are different from the material body. That we are an eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And by that knowledge or self-realization, one is able to cut the knots of attachment to the material world. So, three things are mentioned there. By this Sankhya philosophy, three benefits are mentioned. that is Atmadarshana or self-realization, and in the previous verse there was Vimuchita Prakriti Gunai, or giving up, becoming free from the modes of material nature. And the third one, Hridaya Granthi Bedanam, or becoming free from attachment. So three things there are attained by hearing this knowledge. And by that, we will see that one can become fixed up in devotional service and attain perfection. So, Krishna says the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, and of course the Srimad Bhagavatam explains the same principles that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So, we see that if, as Prabhupada mentions in the last couple of sentences, that through this knowledge the soul is isolated from the entanglement of the 24 categories of material nature. If the soul can't be isolated or differentiated from the body, how is one able to take up devotional service? You know, what impetus is there? So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana Sochidina Kanchiti Sama Sarvesha Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service to me. So there we see that one who is situated on the Brahma Bhuta platform or understands that one is a spirit soul, that person can take up devotional service. You know, in a practical sense, we know that if someone has no faith in life after death, they do not understand they're a spirit soul, eternal, then, you know, there's no question of God realization as well. And, you know, there's no, the impetus is to look after the material body. After all, the, you know, one is then identifying, I am the material body, I have to look after, you know, my interest in this life because, you know, at the end of life everything is finished. So what is the use of this devotional service, religiosity, spiritual life? They have no real attraction, you know, for someone who's completely in the bodily concept of life. For one who understands that they're a spirit soul, not the body, then of course attaining a higher destination after this life, even if it's the heavenly planets, even if one, then, you know, one takes up religiosity, even to attain the heavenly planets, there's some concept that when this body finishes, I can still go somewhere else in the material world. Of course, to get out of the cycle of birth and death completely, that clarity of life after death has to be further developed till one understands that they're an eternal soul, eternal spirit soul, and they have nothing to do with material existence whatsoever. So this Brahma Bhuta platform is essential for one taking up devotional service in a very practical way. And otherwise, you know, our identity is with this material body. And therefore, one of the definitions of bhakti given by Rupa Goswami in his Nectar Devotion, 1.1.12. He says, Sarva Paribhinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nimbalam Hrishikeshena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. One should be free from all material designations and cleansed of all material contamination. He should be restored to his pure identity, in which he engages his senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses. That is called devotional service. So that is a prerequisite for devotional service, is one is cleansed of material designations that are in this body. Now, he also mentions that in this same verse, that not only should one be free, understand that one is a spirit soul, but one should be free from the contaminations, or one should be purified, because although one may have an understanding that I am not this body, I'm the eternal soul, due to the impurities within the heart, one may still act on the bodily platform and on the be attracted to enjoying in the material world. So, but there's another, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the same verse is quoted in this. Prabhupada gives a slightly different English translation. He says, Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. So that's the interesting thing about bhakti, that in order to come to the point of bhakti, to practice bhakti, one has to have that qualification of understanding we're a spirit soul, not identifying the body. And one also has to, you know, be purified of the modes of material nature within the heart. And yet, by engaging in bhakti, you get those benefits. So, if one engages in bhakti, even though they don't understand their spirit soul, they're not convinced about it. It's a possibility. Well, they may have no idea. They may never even discuss that or thought about it. And they're not purified in the heart. And yet, if they engage in bhakti, they will come to that position. So that's called a jnana sukriti. Therefore, you know, prasadam distribution is very important, because people are performing bhakti. They're honouring the prasad of the Lord very enthusiastically. And they're getting a jnana sukriti, which means that at some time, maybe this life or another life, they will get the opportunity to actually take up the process of bhakti, because by that, when they at some stage hear from a devotee the accumulated results of Vigyata Sukriti, unknown or unwilling devotional service, means that faith in what the devotee is saying appears in their heart. It's called Shraddha. As a result of eating so much prasadam, assisting a devotee, you know, doing something, giving a little, you know, helping a devotee. even though one doesn't know it. So, and of course, as Krishna also points out in the Bhagavad Gita, that devotional service is very important, because through devotional service one gets a higher taste, and as one does realize one is a spirit soul, they also get the strength to, you know, purify their heart and to give up attachments. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.59, Krishna says, Vishaya vinivata te niraharasya dehinam rasava jamraso pyasya paramdrisva nivata te. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So we see here, as you know, Lord Kapila is describing the benefits of hearing the Sankhya philosophy, we're also seeing that you know, the Sankhya philosophy brings one to the point of self-realization. It helps one to give up attachment and become free from the modes of material nature. And by engaging in bhakti yoga, those activities automatically engage, attain without separate endeavor. So by hearing about Sankhya, we're also understanding the benefits and the ease of devotional service, bhakti. And of course, that if we can't give up our attachment to the bodily concept of life, then we're going to be attached to the modes of material nature. And this is described in the Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunkte prakriti janjanan karanam guna sango sya sadasab yoni janmasu. The living entity, material nature, thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. So if one is attached to the material world, then one will be bound by the three modes of material nature. So one cannot be freed from the modes of material nature, as long as that attachment is there. And and then, of course, we understand that even if one takes to the path of devotional service, just as we all have, if one still maintains material attachments, which means maintains attachments to the modes of material nature, we will not come to the platform of pure devotional service. And that is, again, in Rupa Goswami's second definition of pure devotional service. He says, Anya vilasa visunyam jana kamajina britam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakta uttama. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruit of active action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's again another slightly variation of how Prabhupada translates that. He said, one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation, and that is called pure devotional service. So actually, without through hearing this Sankhya philosophy, it actually qualifies us for bhakti, but also for pure devotional service, by helping us to cut the knots of attachment, becoming freed from the modes of material nature, and understanding that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. So then, if we don't come to the platform of pure devotional service, then although we may perform devotional service for many, many lifetimes, if we maintain that tenth offense to the holy name, maintaining material attachments, one does not get love of Godhead. And if one does not get love of Godhead, one does not properly understand Krishna. If one does not properly understand Krishna, one does not go back to Godhead. And that is also stated in Bhagavad Gita. So as we see, these principles of Sankhya Yoga are intricately connected with not only a preliminary, qualification for taking up bhakti, but actually it qualifies us for pure devotional service as well and going back to Godhead. So they're not disconnected. It's not a backward step at all in discussing these things. In 1855, Krishna says, Bhakti mam abhijanati yuvanyas chasmi tatvataha tatvato mam tatvato gyatva visite taranantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. And final quote here, I won't bore you too much with the quotes, but my final quote here, the second last, is from Rupa Goswami, again, where he says pretty much the same thing. This is from 1.2.234. Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavegram Indriya Isevan Mukhe Hijivado Swayami Vasparachidam. Now, these verses that are quoted from Bhakti Visamrita Sindhu are really the fundamental verses describing this bhakti. He says, no one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. So there we see that these benefits of hearing Sankhya philosophy are not just preliminary benefits for those perhaps to take up bhakti, but they're essential for those on the path of bhakti. So, and this is one of the significant features of Srila Prabhupada's preaching. Prabhupada, if you go through all his lectures, room conversations, you go through his books, purport after purport, he's just always hammering this point, you're not the material body, and, like this. It's even if you get into the Krishna book, and the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is still instructing in that same message that you have to become fixed up in that knowledge that you're not the body, or we have to become fixed up in that knowledge that we're not the body, that we are in fact the eternal servant of Krishna. And that knowledge being 100% fully fixed in one's consciousness means that one is not attached to material enjoyment and does not associate or become entangled in activities associated with the modes of material nature. That's, as it says here, knowledge is the ultimate perfection of self-realization. Prabhupada says, in the purport, when one is fixed in the understanding that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul and that his eternal position is to serve in association with the Supreme Lord, he becomes self-realized. This position of rightly understanding oneself cuts the knot of material attraction. Hridaya Granthi Bhijanam. So, therefore, we see here that, when Devahuti asked questions from Kapila, If you go back to verses 28 and 29 of the previous chapter, she asked different questions and about how to become free from the material world and attain ultimate salvation. But she also asked Kapila about jnana and about yoga. See? So one may think even her questions may appear to be incompatible. Here, Lord Kapila, he didn't say in the previous chapter, you asked about ultimate salvation from the material world, spiritual salvation. I've told you that that's attained through bhakti. Now you also asked about jnana and yoga. Now forget it. I've told you what you need to know. Just take up bhakti. He didn't say that. Now he's going to answer those questions. Because they're important to devotees. To become fixed up in the foundations of knowledge. Otherwise, there's no question of progressing in higher and there's no question, as Rupa Goswami describes, in understanding the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes, because they're realized successively. First is realization of the name, and one becomes has full faith in the holy name of the Lord. One can then place one's faith and realization in the form, and then the transcendental qualities of that form and personality, and then gradually the pastimes, which are the most difficult aspect of Krishna to understand or understood. But if one is not fixed up, in the understanding that I'm a spirit soul, not this body, then one is not considered to be spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord. So, an interesting thing here in the Bhagavad Gita. We see that Lord Kapila is actually satisfied that it is not incompatible for a devotee that even though they take up the path of bhakti, they can still be inquisitive about the paths of karma, jnana, and yoga as they're related to bhakti. If the goal is bhakti, then that inquisitiveness is not incorrect. Because some of the on the path of jnana, we become more and more fixed up that we are a spirit soul. That's helpful. We analyze the material here, Sankhya. In one sense, it's jnana, in one sense, differentiating matter from spirit, differentiating the soul from the 24 elements. If one becomes really fixed up in that and becomes really convinced, yes, I can clearly see that the soul is different from any of the material elements, it's very helpful for a devotee at any stage of bhakti to be fixed up in that. Never deviate from that, to be just fully convinced. As Prabhupada said, real bhakti begins when one is free from sex desire. So, here in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter, there's this interesting statement by Prabhupada in the 14th chapter, in the purport. So, in the first verse of the chapter 14, which is the three modes of material nature, Srila Prabhupada, and this verse is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Again, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection." So here, of course, we're analyzing not Krishna's pastimes, his qualities, his form, his flute, or Radharani. We're analyzing the material nature that is Mohas. And he says, by that knowledge you can attain, and sages have attained the supreme perfection. And he says, from the 17th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. Now, the Lord himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. We'll come back to that point. But I'll just read the next verse. So again, it appears that, in chapters 7 to 12, Krishna has revealed the detail about the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. So now we're discussing in the 14th chapter the modes of material nature. But what does Krishna say to that? Is that a backward step? He says, it's actually in this verse here. In this verse here he says, again I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge. Now, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he says, the knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attain perfection and transfer to the spiritual world. So now, the Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained, and knowing this, many attain perfection. Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. So as you see, even discussing there the modes of material nature, and here in chapter 26, we're discussing the elements of material nature. One should never think that somehow or another that it is inferior. In fact, it is progressive understanding and progressive knowledge, because it is related to attaining pure devotional service, and because it is, if it gives a devotee the impetus and the realization to be more firmly fixed up in devotional service and to better understand the Lord and his energies, then it is better knowledge. So now we go back to Prabhupada's statement about philosophical speculation. So here again, we had that definition of pure devotional service, where one should give up material motivations and or material profit through karma yoga, jnana yoga, stanga yoga. Well, Prabhupada actually says through philosophical speculation. So Prabhupada actually, if you go through all these books and what have you, he's constantly decrying philosophical speculation. But here, Prabhupada is saying that, philosophical speculation dedicated towards bhakti and understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not incorrect. And similarly, understanding jnana yoga, karma yoga, astanga yoga, with the aim of getting a firmer understanding of the supremacy of bhakti and the nature of the soul and the personality of Godhead, is not a backward step in bhakti. So Bhurijan Prabhu, in his As They Surrender Unto Me, he describes this. He says, the proper use of intelligence is to understand shastric truths. Usually Srila Prabhupada decries philosophical speculation because it is generally used as a process that attempts to uncover the absolute truth by one's limited intellectual strength. In his purport, however, referring to 14.1, Srila Prabhupada invites readers to engage in philosophical speculation. Here, philosophical speculation refers to hearing from bona fide sources and then using one's intelligence to understand what has been heard. A very important part of devotional service is that hearing and then just winding up the intelligence, getting it working again. May have been asleep for a while, and you're getting the intelligence to really meditate and think deeply from all different angles of vision and discuss with different devotees and preach and try and allow that what you've heard to really to assimilate that fully. That's philosophical speculation, which is not incompatible with bhakti. Knowledge, attaining knowledge, is an important element of bhakti, but that knowledge should be related to the shastras. It should be coming from the bona fide scriptures and bona fide devotees, and that knowledge should relate to bhakti, Bhagavan, bhakta, like that. And then that philosophical speculation, applying one's intelligence to try and understand things is acceptable. Here, Prabhupada in a letter to Chattopadhyay, 1972, he says, "As for the difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation, we take it that everything is known by the psychological action of the mind. So that philosophical speculation is the same as mental speculation if it is merely the random or haphazard activity of the brain to understand everything and making theories." Ifs and maybes, if this, maybe that. But if philosophical speculation is directed by Shastra and Guru, and if the goal of such philosophical attempts is to achieve Vishnu, then that philosophical speculation is not mental speculation. It is just like this. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am the taste of water. Philosophical speculation in the accepted sense means to try to understand, under the direction of Shastra and Guru, just how Krishna is a taste of water. The points of Bhagavad Gita, though they are simple and complete, can be understood from unlimited angles of vision. So our philosophy is not dry like mental speculation. The proper function of the brain or psychological activity is to understand everything through Krishna's perspective or point of view, and so there is no limit to that understanding because Krishna is unlimited. And even though it can be said that a devotee who knows Krishna, he knows everything, 15th chapter of the Gita, still the philosophical process never stops and the devotee continues to increase his knowledge even though he knows everything. Try to understand this point. It is a very good question. So in other words, we should not take that quote from the Bhagavad Gita, that one who knows Krishna knows everything. Ah, now I can stop thinking. And, Prabhupada didn't want that type of devotee filling up his movement. He wanted devotees to think for themselves. Each devotee should think for themselves individually to their full capacity. No devotee should ever be a mindless robot, just so-and-so said something, and that's where it stops, that's where my brain stopped. Okay. And I'm just following blind. One should, every activity of bhakti, everything we hear, what we're hearing in class, we should, you know, engage our mind, you know, philosophically to try and understand that very carefully. Just like, you know, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. How to understand that? They at the moment there's a world competition going on as to which country or which city has the best tasting water naturally coming out of the taps. And I think Melbourne and some and a place in Tasmania were in the top couple. And but it still has to be decided. But, you know, if you look at that, so that water, one, is, you know, coming through the streams and the rivers and from the ground and everything like that, gradually comes into our taps. So, for those who are, you know, living a sinful life, an ugra karma, the taste of water deteriorates significantly. And for those who, you know, live a more sinless life according to religious principles, in other words, they're following Krishna, the taste of water is maintained. So we see that in many places in the world now, you know, just like in, you know, I think America or Canada, you know, they're having huge multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar lawsuits because, you know, the nitrates that are in the water to such a degree that it's a significant, you know, health hazard for people who drink that. And this is on a massive scale. Nitrates, of course, stop the blood from absorbing oxygen or something, you know, so they're very dangerous. But they can't, because of the money involved, they can't, you know, even though they can prove that it's a problem, they can't stop it, you know, because of, you know, greed for money and wealth, they can't stop it. Neither you can't, the politicians, they're just as greedy as the big corporates, you know, who do the agriculture and, you know, put all the fertilizer and all the poisons in the ground and the mining and everything like that. They're also very greedy. I was hearing on the news that there's one politician in Victoria, I think it is, he's just been caught. He was, you know, they get a chauffeured car. So he was using that chauffeured car that sometimes he would be, you know, either in the city or in the country, and he would get his dogs, his two dogs chauffeured, you know, about $600, you know. So that's what we pay for. You know, so $600 a trip, and he's been doing that for a long time. So, you know, this greed for money and this, you know, sinful use of money is you know, an epidemic amongst both politicians and so, you know, when there's that lust, greed and envy then and sinful activity, then it actually changes the taste of water. But as Prabhupada says, you can look at the taste of water from many different angles of vision, you know, but how it gets that taste and how it loses that taste. You know, so the closer we follow Krishna's prescription of simple living and high thinking, then you get the taste of water, you know, a pure taste of water. And the more we become sinful, and as we say, you know, our rivers are floating upside down. All the mud is on the top, and somewhere under all that is the water. So, I'll just leave you with one final quote here. This is from JST. JST, what is that initials for? One of those small books. Anyway, up again. Prabhupada says that the next words Rupa Goswami uses refers to the effort to understand Krishna by mental speculation. So he's referring to that verse of the definition of pure devotional service. Of course, we should try to understand Krishna, but we should always remember that he is unlimited and that we can never fully understand him. It is not possible for us to do this. Therefore, we have to accept whatever is presented to us in the revealed scriptures. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is presented by Krishna for our understanding. We should try to understand him simply by hearing from books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Next, Srila Rupa Goswami says that pure bhakti must be anukulina or favourable. We must culture Krishna consciousness favourably. We should find out what will please Krishna and we should do that. How can we know what will please Krishna? By hearing Bhagavad Gita and taking the right interpretation from the right person. Then we'll know what Krishna wants and we can act accordingly. At that time, we will be elevated to first-class devotional service. So again, these statements where it describes that, you know, a devotee, you know, we can never understand Krishna fully, we can never even understand the material creation fully, but to speak of Krishna. But that doesn't mean, as you know, as Krishna says, we should try to understand Krishna, but we remove mental speculation by understanding Krishna through Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Prabhupada's books, and especially hearing from those who are repeating Prabhupada's understanding. If we just try to understand that, we are not engaging mental speculation. But by saying that one who knows Krishna knows everything, stop thinking, that is nonsense. Or if one says, oh, Krishna is, you know, unlimited, how can you ever know him? So therefore, you know, just listen and stop, you know, thinking, use your intelligence. That is also nonsense. Each and every devotee should use their intelligence in devotional service and understanding Krishna through Prabhupada's books, through Prabhupada's lectures and through his representatives. And every aspect, every verse, even, you know, here describing, you know, the different material elements, and that is not philosophical, that is not mental speculation. It is an accepted process of philosophical speculation which is conducive to pure devotional service. As I leave it there, if anyone has any questions or comments. We hear it, and in conjunction with devotional service means we hear from devotees. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, one of the five most powerful processes of the 64 items of devotional service. So.
And what about devotional service? We can't just speculate and don't do devotional service.
That's right, yeah. Active, and that's that. One should serve Krishna favourably, and within that means that we're actually actively serving Krishna, and it's favourable. And if we're actively serving Krishna favourably, and hearing about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., Prabhupada's books from the devotees, then use of our intelligence to ask, you know, questions about, you know, even the various details of material existence, you know, one is that those questions are wanted, and two is that the speakers should actually try to answer them. And, just as Lord Kapila here, he is not, considering Devahuti's questions regarding jnana and yoga to be, something that, I'm more interested in Krishna and Bhakti, so I'm not going to answer that. He's going to answer them because, when that process of understanding is related to, comparative understanding of Bhakti and so it should be answered. The question, don't be embarrassed about the questions, and the speaker should take the time to answer them. Yeah. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I think you mentioned that there's no difference between engaging in devotional service and Sankhya philosophy or engaging in philosophical speculation. So does it mean for somebody who speaks and you just get them to the point that they want to inquire about reality? Does it mean that from this point already actually they start engaging in devotional service? Or do we need to engage in a separate idea as well?
They're engaging in devotional service if they're asking the devotee and hearing from him. And then eating prasadam.
Even in the material knowledge, say for example, medicine, so vast and so different, but if you learn from the professors, those who realize the knowledge, those who see the patients, and if you work with them, you understand, like many jagis, for example, we have learned in the university that we have to do puncture. Find out what is the cause of meningitis.
Yes.
Then only you can treat it.
That's right.
But if you don't know, then you are just going away. Yes. So you also said this.
It's
under
the sign.
If we do that, follow that, then only we can learn something about it.
That's right.
Krishna is unlimited and his knowledge is unlimited.
That's right. Because Krishna says the same thing. When, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are many different types of purification processes or sacrifices. Kama, jnana, yoga, brahmacharya, grihastha, sannyas. And he describes them in the fourth chapter. Yogis are all performing different. But then he says, four, as I work in the garden, I find it, my thumbs, I have to turn the pages. He says, Tadvidi Pranipatane Padi Prashnan Seva Upadekshanti Te Ganam Gananas Tadvidasanam. So he says the same thing. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master or a professor of the spiritual science. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. They've already gathered all the knowledge and assimilated it. You go to the professor like that. So there are so many different ways of, coming to the point of knowledge. This is the easy way. And then what knowledge do you get? It says, Yajikatvana pranamoham ivam yashyasi pandavaha yena bhutan yaseshani yajakshyasi atman yidomai. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living entity, all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. Exactly what is stated here by Lord Kapila Dev in his Sankhya philosophy, that one attains self-realization. I am the eternal servant of the Lord. Same thing that was stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the chair of Krishna Das, and that by that knowledge, one never falls into illusion again. So that because one sees all living entities, they're also spirit souls in a material body. So the same knowledge is there in Bhagavad Gita, same spoken by Lord Kapila, same spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we hear from the Acharyas, they're saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing, the scriptures are saying the same thing. We take knowledge from them, that is bhakti, and bhakti includes using our intelligence for philosophical speculation, the Prabhupada says it, to fully understand what we're hearing. Okay. Mm. All right, let's... Yeah, just go.
Yeah, you said before that the real bhakti begins in the manuscript 65, and it's said in the
morning. Well, you know, knowledge is tested. Everyone can say, yes, I have so much knowledge. I've read so many books, I've done this. But, you know, again, in the Bhagavad Gita, knowledge means you don't fall into illusion that I'm this body. Sex is I means illusion, I'm the body. That is the ultimate test, you know. Maya, you know, we can give up Maya's tricks in many, many different ways, but through that sex desire, if there's the slightest trace of not being fixed up fully, you know, in self-realization, you know, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, I only act for Krishna's pleasure, you know, if there's this little doubt, a little hesitation there, then Maya allows to enter, and her most powerful weapon to, you know, put one into illusion through that little gap in one's consciousness is through sex desire. That is the most powerful weapon. And there might be a little gap there somewhere, even on the platform of Bhava. Therefore, you know, the saying is, Maya, she's in like a needle and out like a plough. So if there's one little needle's worth of lack of Krishna, you know, that fixed up in that consciousness, I'm a spirit soul, one little Maya will get in there, out like a plough, whole devotional life devastated. Everything turned upside down as it was with Bilba Mangala Thakur. But then ultimately Krishna saved him. Yeah. Switch on or off, yeah.
On and off.
Light or dark.
All the sense objects are divided in mode of goodness, mode of action, and mode of ignorance. So we attach to them depending what kind of sense object we enjoy. So the first thing in spiritual life, Krishna says, nicely in Bhagavad Gita, first step, stop sense gratification, and he's offering us alternatives. Tap prasadam, tap the mute, transcendental music. And that's how our senses will get purified from the material desires. And it's not that when we engage in the service, it's all wasted and we don't do the devotional service. It's explained that this is like a preparation for cooking. Maybe we are not cooking, we haven't cooked yet, but if even if we are still materially contaminated, we are still preparing for cooking. We are cutting the vegetables, we are gathering the ingredients, and it's not that. Oh, now we are not doing any devotional service because we are not pure.
It's a very nice example.
We are preparing now.
Yeah, the preparation is part of cooking.
And we
get cleaning up is also part of it as well. All right, very nice example. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.